Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
It's time for Ask a Pastor. And you know our Ask a Pastor segment is when we invite a pastor into the studio or we talk to a pastor who's going to be answering one of your questions. If you have a boggling and baffling question, feel free to send it to us. If my producer will find you a pastor. And we will get an opportunity for you to answer. Pastor Chiwanda joins us on the line now to be our pastor for this week. Pastor Chiwanda, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, and thanks so much for having me.
Thank you very much, Pastor. Our question for today is it possible for someone to experience spiritual growth outside of organized religion?
Outside organized religion.
Yes, Pastor.
I would like to say that it is not possible because growth is nurtured by interaction. You see, there is God to interact with. There is God to feed from, but there is also the dimension of the community of faith, which is as important because it is also linked to God himself.
Right.
So there is a need for us to be together in faith,
right,
in love, in love, in fellowship. It is as we interact and share our experiences, and also as we learn to live together,
right,
because there are so many differences amongst us. We differ in attitudes, we differ in emotions, in our conduct, in our traits of life.
Yeah.
And so even in our temperaments, we differ. And so if we are secluded and I live in my own cocoon and think that I'm here with God, I don't need another person around me.
Right.
I think that would be a very big mistake.
Okay.
I can't grow because how do I live with other people? How do I show my love to others? Or how do I receive the behaviors of others? How do I respond? How
right.
do I react to different dynamics that take place in the community of faith? I think we need each other.
So you're saying without an organized church, you can't grow.
What I'm saying is that you can't grow because you will think you are growing and you're not. You deceive yourself.
So what happened?
You see, growth means that you must meet both positives and negatives, good things and bad things. You must also be able to feed from God himself and be able to go out and exercise your faith.
So what were people doing during COVID, Pastor? Because there was people during COVID lockdown, people were not going to churches. So there was no one involved in organized religion. Everyone was a pastor in their own home. Were people not growing for 2 years?
Did you see what was happening there?
Yes, I did.
Did you see what was happening there?
Yes.
People who could access other online means of interacting with others, they quickly grabbed that aspect. They started interacting through online means,
right?
Which
so
meant that they were feeling an inadequacy on their own. They were feeling an inadequacy
right.
on their own. They wanted to listen to somebody speak to them. They wanted to listen to some music from some source, even though they were secluded in their homes.
Right. So you can, you don't really need organized religion. You can use television or your screen. You can still grow by watching something on your screen, isn't it, Pastor?
That was just by emergency. It was an emergency.
But it worked
it
during
an
that emergency.
You need real. That was during an emergency.
I agree.
What could we do? We were locked down. We went and asked not to go around, and even fearing going out that time. I was very, very afraid. I was fearing death.
I agree.
What could I do?
So during that time,
I stayed in my home.
I hear you, Pastor. Mm-hmm. I'm not disputing that. What I'm asking is, so if I'm listening to you well, it worked during that state of emergency,
mm-hmm.
which means it does work. You can grow.
It does work.
You can grow without being
grow.
Part of an organized religious. Is that what the pastor is saying?
I would like to agree to that, but that growth, you know, growth can be successful growth, can also be growth that is impeded by certain factors.
Right.
You can see a child who is growing very fast and energetically, and you can also see a child who is growing but in a very slow way.
He
might be lacking certain things.
Yeah,
that's what I'm trying to say.
I hear you.
You remember Hebrews 10 verse, I think it's verse 25.
Okay.
It says that we should not leave this practice of meeting together, especially as we see the day is approaching.
Right.
So meeting together, assisting one another, sharing experiences and sharing the word of God and the spiritual interaction with one another and with our God facilitates this spiritual growth, I think.
Right. Okay.
You remember also what Jesus says. He says, where two or three are gathered together.
There I am.
In my name.
Yeah.
I'll be right there.
Of course.
Be right there, blessing them.
Of course.
Yes.
So during Jesus's time, we saw him going to the synagogue from time to time, as was his custom. But there is no record of his disciples going with him. Were they not growing?
They were together with him most of the times.
The Bible doesn't
say
that.
They were together with him. Yeah, only that, you know, the Bible doesn't have to say everything. That's why in John chapter 20, 21, especially 21, verses 31 there, it says that there was so much that could have been written.
That's well and good, but it does tell us that Jesus went to the synagogue. I understand.
Yeah, Jesus
but
was,
why would the Bible see the need to tell us that Jesus' custom was to go to the synagogue? But it doesn't tell us that the same thing about the disciples.
You know, the Bible doesn't have to tell you everything, every detail.
Well, if the Bible doesn't tell us, why are we so bold as to make things, declare things the Bible did not declare?
What are we declaring?
Yes, you're saying that the disciples went to church and yet the Bible said no such thing.
Wow, you should understand. You should understand that the disciples, when you mention a disciple in the days of Jesus, it means somebody who was following Jesus. To be a disciple is to follow.
Absolutely.
So even if you come to Matthew 4, verse 19, so he says, follow me,
yes,
and I'll make you figure. So
but they didn't follow him all the time, Pastor. That's my point. We know that there were times that they were not with Jesus.
Yes, but which times are those?
I'll give you an example. Yes,
I'll
give you an example. When he was chatting up this woman at the well, he was alone. He sent them away to go find food. He was having that conversation with that woman at the well without the disciples.
But when they came, they found him and they were saying, hey, look, the big man is talking to this lady.
Absolutely. So what I am bringing to your attention that the Bible does record times when Jesus was not with his disciples. He was with that woman and they were not there.
Yes.
So we know that, for example, in that instance, they were not his followers. They were not following him. They were gone. They went to the shops. They went to the mall to get something to eat.
But they had been all the way. It was only that they needed lunch.
I agree.
What could you do with me if you were with me in a place and I asked you to go and buy some food? Does it mean that we are separated? No, you are getting food for us. They actually came and offered that food to him.
I totally agree.
Yes, the food we bought him.
I totally agree with you, Pastor.
I have my own food to eat, which you don't know of.
So if we can accept that together. If we can accept that there was a time when Jesus sent his disciples away, for whatever reason, we must accept that there was a time when Jesus was not with them. As when the Bible says he was at the synagogue, there is no record that the disciples were there with him. If we can
deduce that at the synagogue, he was not with the disciples, we will also be saying what the Bible has not told us.
Well, the Bible doesn't say anything about that, so we have no reason to say they were there or not.
We have some reason to understand that as followers of Jesus,
right,
most of the times they were together with him.
That's fine. Let's talk about the growth of Saul. Saul grew and became an apostle, not because he was attending the synagogue. His first encounter was outside the synagogue, right?
I remember that one. But he was referred to a certain man.
Absolutely.
That he had to go to, and he had to interact with, and he had also to be administered
right.
some service on
yes.
him. On him.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. However, yes. his turning point was not at the synagogue. The moment where he decided he is now going to be a follower of Yeshua ben Joseph, it was not at the synagogue. So his trajectory changed for and in favor of Yeshua ben Joseph, it was not at the temples or synagogues of organized religion. It was in the Isle of Patmos, of Damascus. It was in Damascus, isn't it?
Of course.
Yes.
That is very true, but you will discover that after that, he had to integrate back into the system, and people had to fear him and say, hey, this one was the one who was molesting us.
That integration,
what is he coming to do now?
That integration was not him being fed by his fellow believers. The only time he was fed spiritually was when he had to be unblinded. And after his blinding experience, there is no record of Saul, who is now called Paul, ever learning from anybody. He actually refused and rejected the views of Peter, the head and lead apostle. He went on and became an apostle himself. He was never taught by anybody.
No. If we do that, we will not be making a right decision, a right conclusion.
Right.
Because we cannot say that he was never taught by anybody.
Do we have any evidence in Scripture that says he was taught by anybody?
Actually, he must have been learning through interaction with his friends. You remember that he was going around with this guy Barnabas.
Yes.
And where he was actually ordained or appointed as an apostle. It was where there's the Holy Spirit said, separate for me, Barabbas
yes.
and Paul, separate for me. I think it was in Antioch.
So,
separate for me.
Right,
The Lord speaking to the church. The Lord is speaking to the church. Separate for me. These
right.
two guys, I want them.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Barnabas and Paul and later John Mark and then all of these guys, we don't see any evidence of them, Barnabas particularly, and Paul, being taught by anybody.
We don't have to have that evidence to understand.
But our faith is based on biblical evidence, Pastor. Our faith is not based on our spiritual assumptions.
My problem with holding the Bible as a what book? It's not a textbook. The Bible is not just a book.
But the Bible is the basis of our faith. Our faith is Bible-based, Pastor.
But what we are discussing now is that a person needs to interact in a setting of people that he can share faith with in order to grow, not just to be alone. Okay. That's what we are discussing here.
Okay. Let's talk about the Ethiopian. The Ethiopian that met... beg your pardon?
Yes.
Yeah, the Ethiopian eunuch.
The Ethiopian eunuch. Yes.
That's correct. Yes. He only interacted during that time. And then after he was baptized, he went back to Africa. There is no evidence of him being taught any time after that. In fact, even then, he was already reading the book. He just didn't understand it.
One question you should ask yourself is,
right,
where was he going from Africa? Where was he coming from?
No, the Bible, we don't need to ask that question. The Bible tells us he had come to worship.
These are important questions. Where did he get the text from? The Isaiah Bible, where did he get from?
The Bible.
You see, that is from a certain community of faith.
The Bible doesn't say that, Pastor. The Bible says doesn't say he got it from a community of faith.
I want to tell you that he was interacting with the Jews. He got that text from the Jews themselves.
Where would you get that from, Pastor?
I would get that from the very Acts chapter 8. Because the Holy Spirit is telling Philip, go this way.
Right.
There is a man there.
Right.
Who is riding his own what? He's reading something he can't understand.
Right.
Yes. He's reading something he can't understand. I want you to talk.
My
to
question
him.
Is when you say he got it from the Jews, you'd be basing that on what? Because the Bible doesn't tell us where he got the text.
I would be basing that on the fact that at that time,
right,
the Jews were the custodians of the scriptures.
That is not true, Pastor, because we know that when Solomon sent away his beauty, whom he made allegedly a child with. He sent the child with the preachers and the teachers and the rabbis in Africa.
Yes.
So
what I'm trying to say is that whether the scriptures are found in Africa or they are found in Asia, or they are found anywhere else, they had been from the Jewish community before?
No, Pastor. It was not from the Jewish community. But I don't want us to digress. But what we do know is Ethiopians...
I see what you are saying.
Yeah.
You are following historical sources.
Absolutely.
That have told us something else?
No. The very same chronicles, Pastor. The very same chronicles, Book of Chronicles, Book of Kings, and the Book of Samuel. That's that history
fine.
Of the kings does
That's
tell
fine.
Us... the encounter of the
My question to you,
yes.
are you presupposing or are you suggesting that the eunuch was growing spiritually on his own without a faith group around him? Is that what you're trying to say?
I am saying, as far as the Book of Acts tells us about the Ethiopian was already going from Africa to Israel to worship. That's what the verse says.
Okay, fine. I like that. I like that.
So when he had gone to worship there, he was not going there because he was told to worship. That was him. He left Africa to worship. He so happened to be having a chapter in the Bible that he did not understand. He left Africa with the Bible. He came to Israel with the Bible. He came there to worship, as the Bible says. So we have no way of contradicting the Bible to say he only met the faith there, and yet he went there already with the intention to migrate for spiritual reasons.
So what's our problem with the eunuch? What's our problem? Because I don't know how he's featured in this.
The point
discussion.
That I'm making is his growth, his spiritual growth. I had asked, was he not able to grow without an organized faith around him?
You see, you need to understand that we are contradicting ourselves,
okay.
You and I.
Okay, go ahead.
Because when he leaves Africa,
right,
he is going to a safe community. He is going to a faith community.
Yeah.
And in that faith community, he is not satisfied with something. He is still searching the scriptures. And he is leaving that faith community with a question. Who is this person Isaiah is talking about?
Right.
He's coming out with something. And the Holy Spirit, he brings Philip in that the eunuch gets an answer
right.
and is satisfied. So we can't say that growth, we can't say that the eunuch is growing on his own. There is nothing like that, because how could he leave Africa so long a distance and then go up to Jerusalem and worship with those people there? What was he looking for? He was thirsting for something, and his thirst had to be satisfied. That's why this Philip comes into the picture. So there is need for a faith community for you to grow.
All right. Let me take that. Let me accept that, Pastor. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. I appreciate your time for this.
I accepted after happy press.
Let's do this again tomorrow, same time, same place, Pastor. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.